Welcome, everybody, once again to the Magic Table. We are glad you are hanging out with us today. And we felt like going into the new year, right? It's 2023. We've all made it through 2022, finally, heading into a new year. And we thought we'd talk once again, kind of revisit one of our favorite things we've learned to do together in our yearly goal setting, right?
Yeah. And I think we didn't realize that we missed doing this together. And then...
Can you be more specific?
Podcasting.
Okay. There's
You're
a lot of like...
so awkward.
No, there's a lot of like like parenting, you know.
And like people actually listened to the last one, and not that we plan to become professional podcasters, but we think it's fun. We appreciate that you took the time to listen, and this is something that is really valuable.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a perfect time to talk about a discipline that we've practiced for quite a few years, minus that whole like COVID thing.
Right. Also, like, and if you know us in real life, you understand the fact that we've like stuck with something that is disciplined is kind of a big deal.
A big deal. Yeah, it's more. This is more of a celebration
for us
doing anything. Because we are, and I think this is an encouragement to people like maybe checking out this episode. You know, I don't know what to do with the new year, that sort of thing. We are not disciplined people by any stretch of the imagination. Like, we're not regimented, we're not schedulers. We are only to the extent that we have to be in order to like survive.
Yeah, like when we talk about adoption parenting, that there needs to be a balance of structure and nurture. Like, we're always working on that structure piece, because like the nurture piece is pretty easy, that structure piece is hard.
So
this just is a way that we do structure
exactly
for ourselves.
Yeah, we needed a little structure. I went back and listened to the last time we talked about goal setting.
Because you're an overachiever and you're a three, and I didn't go
I'm
back and listen.
I'm a super overachiever. No, I just wanted to remember kind of what we had talked about. But, you know, we had talked about, or I had said, you know, if you, the old saying, like, if you aim at nothing, you're going to hit it every time. You know, and I think we had talked about how we spent a lot of our married lives like not really having sort of a path, even a general direction we're headed. You know, it was just like totally wide open, you know. And I think the first time we did goal setting, we realized that, hey, this is kind of cool, like kind of aiming for something, even though it's not like we're not talking about like, hey, this time next year we're going to be boom, boom, boom. You know, these are like wide open sort of like aspirational things that we're talking about. I think we discovered that it was pretty cool, actually, and helpful to have some sort of direction.
And I think it's this idea of having a shared goal. So often when I was doing like marriage counseling with people, I would have them kind of, we'd have a session, and then between like that session and the next one, kind of think about a goal that we were moving towards. Because the reality is, you can show up to anything and say like, oh, well, I want a healthy marriage. And your partner might be saying that as well. But like, if you haven't identified what a healthy marriage is, it's not going to be super effective to keep coming to counseling. And so this feels like a piece of that. Like, we can both say like, we want an emotionally healthy family, or we want to travel more, or whatever the thing is. But if we don't define what that is to each of us, you and I could be like working towards completely different goals. And so I think there's just a really unifying thing about setting a goal together.
Yeah. It's those expectations we always talk about, like,
yes,
right, in relationships.
Gotta set expectations.
Expectations. It's an important part of the whole thing. So this is part of setting expectations for what we want out of the year. And I think maybe even more importantly, it's a time to sit down and remember, right? We're not just forward looking, we're remembering, maybe more importantly, even remembering.
Yeah. And so as we were talking about this, I think so often, at least I'll speak for myself, we just put life, a year, a week, a month, whatever it is, into good or bad. That was a bad day. That was a bad week. It's a bad year. And I think the reality is, as I was thinking about this after our initial conversation, I thought, is it just that I'm listening to more sage voices than I have previously? and maybe it's just my own lived experience, but I think the reality is it's another place that we hold the tension of the happy and the sad, the good and the bad. And taking time to reflect on the entirety of the year really helps me see all that a year has held. I think we tend to kind of look at a highlight reel. And so when we start, I guess, our time together, we start with the highlights of the year before and then the challenges of the year before. And then when we come back the following year, we look at those things again. And I think what that has taught me, so the first time we did this, I think, was going into
2019. Yeah.
And then so the next year, going into 2020, that we had no idea what the year held. Looking back at the challenges of the year before was almost like comical, because at the time they were, one of the things in particular was like a ministry thing that had happened that at the time gutted me as a human. And when we came back to reevaluate a year later, I realized like, oh, that thing that deeply rocked me to my core, I was able to move past that. And I don't mean this in a way of like diminishing our pain or our suffering. I think sometimes we have to remember that like we will get through a thing and it won't hold the same weight. And oftentimes I can't remember that when I'm walking through something hard. But being able to look back even a year or a couple years later and be like, oh my gosh, do you remember how I couldn't function as a human because of that? And now look at, you know, there have been other hard things that have shaped the year, or what did I learn from that experience? How did that shape me? And so I think the other part about looking back is not to like over spiritualize looking back, but I think I was doing Bible study fellowship. It was like pre-kids.
Yeah.
So a while ago, a long while ago, and we were studying the Exodus. And I remembered the story of the Israelites. The way that I remember it being told to me is like, look at those stupid people who saw God's faithfulness again and again and chose not to follow him. And as we spent a year studying Exodus, it was very much this tying their story to my story of how often do I forget God's faithfulness to me? And I would say that year, that study was transformative to me because it changed how I like interacted with God. And I think this goal setting is an extension of that. And it's not like, oh my gosh, God was there, so it wasn't bad, like, at all. It's very much a like, God is faithful when my life is like, it feels like my life is a dumpster fire, or when I'm on the mountaintop, like God's presence is with me in those things. And I, as a human, need that reminder again and again that in the highs and the lows, God is always present.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, to put our culture is just a culture in general that just does not remember well, right? All of our stories are told through media, through movies, that sort of thing. Like, our stories are told, yeah, in those ways, as opposed to you look back at Israel, right? What were their stories about? Like, God's moving in the world, right? And they were a oral culture, so they just told stories, and all of their stories were about how God had moved with their ancestors, right? How, like, back to the Exodus, how God had brought his people out of the Exodus, and like, even like, you know, hundreds of years later, this people group was formed around these stories of God's faithfulness. And so often we don't tell the stories of God's faithfulness, even to ourselves.
Yeah.
They're so easily forgotten. Like, what did God, you know, do in this past year? And I think it's testimony, Yeah. Right. This is why we give testimonies. This is why I talk about God's faithfulness in our life, because it's heartening for us and it's heartening for other people to hear of God's faithfulness, and it pushes us on. It propels us in hope, you know, and I think that's what this is about.
Yeah. And I do think there is beauty in like sharing, like hearing other people's stories of God's faithfulness. And yet so often I want to know how God has been faithful to me and to my story. And this is a time to do that. I also think it's not just looking at the hard, but it's also looking at the good.
Yeah.
I think we just move as humans. I think we just move past all emotion. And Pastor Trey on Sunday was talking about just taking time to mourn and talking about Nehemiah and his like response. And being like, not only do we not take time to mourn, I have a whole soapbox about grief and how we don't grieve well. And, you know, like someone close to you dies and your work's like, cool, you've got 3 days to figure that out. Like, move on.
Yeah.
And I believe that's really true. I also believe we don't take time to celebrate. Like, we don't enjoy God's goodness or faithfulness. We're moving on to the next thing, the next challenge. And so to me, it's different than Sabbath and yet feels similar to me. And it's taking time to like look at where we've been and where we're headed is this intentional time to stop and be like, where are we on the journey? Like being obedient to feel all the things. I literally, shocking again to no one, I cry every time we do this. We're like always, you know, having a meal or having coffee or something. And I'm always like the lady at the table crying. Because there is, I'm overwhelmed by God's faithfulness, the beauty that a year holds. And so for me, it's really important to just remember life in its entirety, not these little pieces that I choose to kind of handpick out.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, we were just talking. So the last time we recorded an episode about goal setting was 2019 heading into 2020. Had no idea what 2020 was about to do to us. I think we actually were faithful that entire year, though, because we like to do quarterly check-ins even on our goal settings. And I think we did that, although they weren't.
Somehow.
They weren't dates out. You know, it was like hanging on the backyard while our kids watch TV sort of deal. But I think we were. And then 2021 into 2022, that thing just said survive the next year, basically written out, right? Like moving, you know, figuring out like changing careers. We talked, you can go back to the previous magic table for that.
Right.
You know,
but also just the entirety of like 2021 was diabetes.
Yeah.
It was like life just kind of, it felt like life was unraveling.
Yeah.
Probably because life was.
Yeah.
Unraveling.
Yeah.
In a way. And so I think coming back to this practice and embodying like it in its entirety was grounding to me as a human of like, oh, okay, I'm coming back to a rhythm that I know. And I think that's after like we've all been living in chaos. I think there's a whole lot of like, man, 2020 was crazy.
They
but
all
like
run together.
2021 was like
yeah,
just an extension of crazy. And so I think the world, you know, I keep saying, I'm the lady with the megaphone saying, the world is still not okay.
Yeah.
Like, I don't believe people have really healed from all the trauma that pandemic brought, in addition to, you know, political and social justice issues. Like, there's a lot, and we're all still just like moving on like we didn't just live through some catastrophic event. And so I think I didn't realize when we decided to do this year how like I needed the rhythm of just saying like, hey, let's like evaluate what has happened, where we are, and where we want to go.
Yeah. There's a rhythm and there's, yeah, that's why those disciplines are so grounding, right? This is a discipline, something to keep sort of bringing you back to, you know, that remembering and that looking forward at the same time, right? At church, we used to call that reflections and projections, right?
Yeah.
Look back at the past and remember the, look back at the past and look into the future for what it holds. And there's hope in all of that. Right?
Yeah.
Like you saw the ways that God was faithful. And then that propels you to seek God's faithfulness, even in the turmoil. Like, I'll be honest, we did our goal setting and just looking into next year. I already felt overwhelmed by like some of the stuff we have going on. You know, it's just like, yeah, there's a lot of moving pieces. Our kids are at really busy ages that are just getting busier. We have some important travel going on this year for the first time in a lot
ever.
Of years. Yeah. So it just, it like all felt overwhelming. And yet God's been faithful. Right. And there's no reason to think that God won't work these things out. You know? And so I think there's a hope piece, to all of that. That's pretty needed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do we want to get into the like practical of what some of that looks like?
Sure. Are you going to share the, share.
Yeah. So I have a PDF that I've shared before, and I will share that, probably put it in the link in my profile on Instagram. I'll just put a little link to it where you can download it if you want it. That's great. So I'll share the PDF. Can I caveat this before we get too
sure.
far? So one caveat to this is we're married, and we realize that's not everybody's reality. And I certainly do not want to leave singles out in this equation. This is something that you can take a good friend out with you and y'all can do this together, mm-hmm. right? Whoever would be somebody to hold you accountable, you know, whoever you share a lot of your life with can be your sounding board for this and can be a helper in helping you, you know, stay accountable to these things and remember these things, and you can do the same for your friend. So I want to like make sure that we're, you know, thinking through all the scenarios. This does not have to be a couple thing.
For
right?
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think like for us as non-structured planner people, it also just helps like, okay, so we talked about highlights and challenges, but then we move to like events and travels for the year. I think that's where we both felt overwhelmed
yes,
this year.
Very overwhelmed. Still feeling overwhelmed a little bit. Praying for that one. You know,
Because, like, I think when you, and maybe normal people who like plan stuff don't feel this way because they've already planned it. But I think when we sit together at the end of December and even just look at like events and travel for the year ahead, you're like, oh my gosh, like we're doing stuff. There's stuff going on. And I think that's helpful, especially if you're not a planner, to be like, I need to be aware of these chunks of time and how are we arranging childcare around that? How are we financially preparing for these things? And so I think planning is beautiful because it makes you plan. And I think as we kind of started to talk about what our year holds, there was accountability in that of just like, oh, gosh, our year holds a lot. And how are we prepping now for all the things to come? It's all fun and good and need some planning.
Yeah. And we are not those people.
We are not those people.
Yeah.
I think it's also, to me, important that you just realize whether you use this tool or one of the gajillion that are available to you on the internet, like, you just have to do what works for you. And even the template that we started with, we have figured out like these things resonate and are easy to move forward for us. Some of the things, I think even on the PDF we have, like, where do you want to be in 10 years? Like, I don't know.
There's
10
no way.
Years
yeah, that's,
feels really far away. Like, where do we want to be next year? Where do we want to be next month? Right. And so, I think because I longed for a little bit more structure, I clung to whatever questions or templates I could find. And it took me a little bit of time to realize like, oh, we just make this our own. Like we take what works for us and we don't take like what feels like not helpful.
Right. Yeah.
And so I think that's important. Figure out what works for you.
Yep. Okay. So some important highlights for me that we go through, we'll just talk about maybe. I think one important thing is where our kids are at. It's really easy in parenting to sort of just be kind of surviving and making it and, you know, I don't know, making decisions on the fly, I guess, you know, but we sit down and we talk about, you know, where are our children at? What sort of things are they doing? What are aspirations? You know, what can we be helping them with? What's sort of working? What's maybe not working? I think that doesn't have to be as involved as it sounds, I don't think.
And also, I think it makes you think through things. Again, we've established not planners. Britton is 6 and doesn't know how to swim. So after we met, like one of our family takeaways was like, we need swim lessons, which made me be proactive to search that out. Whereas what typically would have happened before we had this practice is it would be May and I'd be like, oh my gosh, Britton can't swim. What do we do? It's almost summer and we're going to be swimming all summer. Whereas this makes me say, oh, it's December or early January. How do I figure out what's going to be the best fit versus, oh gosh, it's May. We now live in Texas where everybody wants swim lessons.
Right.
All the quote unquote good places are taken.
You generally want a good place, a quote unquote good place for swim lessons for your children.
And,
you
know. And so I just think that is like a practical thing of like, because we did this in December, acknowledged like, okay, something that he needs is to learn how to swim. I was able to seek out a community resource, get on their crazy wait list to sign him up in February to get a spot, all the things. But had we not been planning, I would have missed that opportunity. It's other things like Blythe turns 13 this year. How are we celebrating that milestone birthday? I want to be thinking about that in December, not like 2 weeks before her birthday, like, oh, what's going to make her feel really special? And so if you're a non-planner, I think this is really helpful to kind of make you start thinking through life stuff.
Yeah. Very much so. I think those are great conversations to have. Another one that's really important, I think that has been really grounding for us, is date night tracking.
Gosh, yes.
Right? Because if it doesn't, I mean, who knows? Like, I literally cannot remember what November held. I can't really remember December that well, honestly. Like, I am not the sort of person that could look back and be like, oh, you know what? We went here that month, and you know, and a monthly date night is a really important piece of how we operate. So if we're not tracking that, how do we know if we're really accomplishing those goals or not?
Yeah,
I think that's a super helpful part.
Yes. I also think the other really helpful thing to me is, and I think we've talked about this before on something else, but we are always creating a list of people we want to have over to our house for dinner.
Yes.
And I think the reality, not so much here because we don't have as many people, but when we lived in Illinois, there were just kind of like your default people, like, oh, this is who comes over. And so when you have a list, it's way easier to be like, oh, we're unexpectedly free on such and such night. Who can we be intentional about inviting to our home? And so I think, for me, that's one of the most important, and we are always updating it. I date when we have people over. It helps me be more intentional versus default to what feels comfortable to me.
And just to be clear, we don't have as many people here yet, but the people we do have here are really great. So just wanted to be clear about that. We have had some great magic table sessions here already in DFW.
So. Also, guys, I forgot. I know how to cook.
It's true.
Over Christmas break, our kids are like really impressed because they don't actually remember a time that I like cooked like many of y'all know. And so we had dinner this week and Bennett was like, Mom, they would serve this at a restaurant. And I was like, oh my gosh, our life is so sad. You don't remember that your mom really is a good cook. And so I think it's also a good time to internalize. We also talk about like professionally where we hope to be.
Yeah.
But personally, where we want to be. And like, so for me, one of my personal goals is like, I want to actually cook food for my kids. We have been in survival cooking for more years than I would like to admit.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have, but
for sure. Yeah.
But they used to be something that gave us such life as a couple. And
yes. You know. And also I think having my kids be like, oh my gosh, we made marshmallows over Christmas break, which again, like was a staple over Christmas.
For sure.
We
used to give them as gifts.
And to our youth group kids, we would do homemade hot chocolate and homemade marshmallows. And our kids like didn't even remember that was the thing. And I was like, cool. Failed you. We should bring some of this back. And so I think part of it is even a reminder of like, what pieces have I let go for a period of time? And what do I want to bring back? And I think it gives you opportunity to be like, oh, some of those things we were doing, I'm not interested in picking back up. And there are pieces oftentimes that it's like, that's fallen by the wayside. And I do want to return to that. I do want to pick that back up.
Yeah. And I just want to kind of focus, like settle there for a second. Cause like, I personally am really good at picking things up. Here's what I want to do. I have all these aspirational goals for what I want to do. I think a really important discipline for me, and this may be true for other people, is really, what do I need to let go?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like for real, like what things am I doing just because that's how I've always done it? And it's maybe not working that great for me. And how do I let those go? Those are great ways to like include boundaries in your life. Right?
Right?
It's like I am married to a therapist, but setting boundaries for me is a really hard thing to do because I just want to do it all. And in most cases, I'm pretty capable of doing it all. And rarely is it all important enough that I should be doing it, you know?
Well, I won't speak for you, but, or is it like all done well?
Yeah.
Like sometimes I take things on because it's like, well, nobody else is. Like, who cares if you're doing a lot of things really poorly?
Right.
Like, I would rather do a couple of things well. And so I think it's such a great calibrator.
Calibrator. Yeah. Calibration?
Yes, sure. Of like where you want to be. Because I think the 3-month check-in is this reevaluation that sometimes we're like, that goal we set 3 months ago was stupid and like isn't attainable, isn't something we want to focus our time and energy in. And so I think it's this twofold of like the planning is important and the follow-up is equally important of just like sometimes, right? I feel the new year energy. Not that I want to make a lot of resolutions, but very much like it's a fresh start.
Clean slate.
It can be anything we want the year to be. And I could be overzealous sometimes. And I think this is a really great way to be like, oh, cool. Like December JJ was feeling a vibe. Like March JJ is saying these things aren't attainable. Or I don't even value them anymore. Why did I think this was a goal? And so I think remembering that this whole process is really fluid.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I was just thinking that there's a rigidity to it of like planning and moving forward. And there's a, you know, it is fluid at the same time. You know, I mean, life circumstances can change so quickly. Like in 3 months, you may be working a different job. You may like have a whole set of different circumstances that have popped up out of nowhere. You know, how do you reset those goals and where you're moving, you know, in light of the current circumstances? I think that's a really important part of the whole process. So here's what you do. You're doing a monthly date night. If you're a couple, you know, in 3 months on that third date night, you just take the notebook and you check in, right? You know, pretty simple. For those of you who maybe aren't doing monthly date nights or aren't, you know, don't have somebody that you're doing date nights with, set a calendar reminder, right? Pretty easy. Google Calendar. It'll even like ping you and stuff.
Guys, I hate to say it. And after a lot of years, I'm kind of using a Google Family Calendar. Kind of.
Yeah, we're going to say kind of.
But
it's a step forward.
It's a step forward. And they're very handy. Curry puts all of our family things in and I can look at it and I know what's happening. So
it's almost like somebody's been telling you that for like 4 or 5 years.
It's when I started at Tiller, so probably longer than five. Okay. Perfect. Because I could keep a Google calendar for that, but not for our family. So those Google calendars are real handy.
It's handy. It's handy, you know, stay a little bit organized.
Yeah. But I just think, again, like ebb and flow, I was always a paper calendar person. I was scheduling clients in a paper calendar. I have moved to a job that is not how I operate. And so it's also this like, okay, what I have done previously doesn't fit in life anymore. I don't even know what happened to my 2022 calendar because I just stopped using it. And realizing like, that's how I've always done things.
Right.
That's not working for our life anymore. I'm still not totally on board to the Google Calendar thing. I have post-it notes of things that I need to put in the Google Calendar.
Ugh, people.
But it's a process in growth. And so I think we share our experience to be like, we don't have it all figured out. And it has given us some sort of a roadmap that has been helpful to move us forward.
Yeah. And if it works for you, great. And if you try it and it doesn't work for you, great. You know, maybe something else will. I just think, I think a lot of times we don't try new things, right? We're kind of stuck in the way that we've always done stuff. You know, maybe try something new this year. You know, look back, look forward, and you know, see what it may bring you. So what a discipline like that may bring you.
Truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think our reality is we're turning 40 this year. And
y'all, hold on. You're just going to throw that out there like that?
Yeah.
Okay. We're turning 40 this year, both of us, within 2 months.
And our oldest is turning 13. We got a lot going on this year. And I think there is some reflection of like 40 is a number, just like 30 was a number, but it brings you to a place of maybe more reflection and planning. And we also know we can plan all we want and it doesn't always come to fruition. But I think this year, more than previous, it feels important. Like, where are we headed? What is the goal? And how are we getting there?
What did you think from a practical perspective? Like, you know, we talked about our whole year of craziness coming back to 2022. We talked about it being good, but in what ways are you like reflecting on sort of our time together and then what the next year looks like for the Blandford family?
I think why this was extra important this year is our sweet kids. I made them go through some of these questions at lunch yesterday. They were thrilled. But I think it's also, for me, part of this practice is helping create a family culture. When we, all three kids, what was the hardest thing of 2022 was moving.
Yeah.
And I want to hold that with them. And I also want them to be able to acknowledge that there was good amidst the hard. And I think that's a life skill. I hope we are teaching our kids that life is holding tension of the good and the hard.
Yeah.
And that feels really important. I think for me, it was an opportunity, like I'm painfully aware of how challenging the year had been. To look back at highlights was actually really redemptive for me, because it would be really easy to chalk up like, gosh, this year was hard. And let me tell you all the ways. That is true. And there was a lot of joy we experienced this year. And I think I needed that reminder that there was a whole lot of joy in amidst all of the challenges. And so to me, that's why this practice is important. It does give me hope for what's to come. I feel like I also just hold things much looser than I did before, because while I always knew I didn't have control, I think the longer I live, the more aware I am that I don't have control.
Yeah.
And this practice is another way that kind of reinforces, like, we don't have control over a lot of life.
Yeah. Something I've been thinking about a lot since our hangout and planning is that going into our 40th year, right? When I was younger, 40 was super old, right? Like, I thought people who were 40 were super old, and not necessarily in a negative way per se. But what I thought about 40-year-olds is that they had stuff figured out. They were sort of stable, maybe in their careers, you know, moving in a trajectory where they sort of, like, they seem like they had it all figured out, people in their 40s. And I'm rolling into 40 with nothing figured out. And I think maybe that's given me a lot of grace for myself, rolling into 40, not really having a plan. I mean, we have certain things figured out in our lives, but that could all change, right? Everything's very mm-hmm. up in the air in a lot of ways, careers, you know, everything's just sort of being held very loosely. And that is not what I thought I would be experiencing going into my 40th birthday. And maybe some humility is coming with that. Maybe a lot of hope, you know. I think it can be easy to feel like, God, have you sort of forgotten me? Have you, you know, what are you doing with our lives? You know, was our, you know, decade plus of ministry, what was that? You know, there can be a lot of questions that come with that. I am just assuming there's going to be a magic table episode that unpacks us turning 40 and what that's like or going into 40. But I just think, not where I thought I'd be, and God is good, you know?
Yeah.
So wherever you're at, whatever that age is, whether it's, you know, 18, 35, 40, 50, 60, I don't know, whatever age that is, you can still do these practices. And I think they can be really beneficial no matter where you're at and no matter how much or little you have of life figured out.
Yeah.
Right. You're just seeing God's faithfulness and just going along for the ride. Cause really, anytime you really try to plan anything, set it in stone, God is going to destroy that stone with a sledgehammer, you know, just for the heck of it. But God is good and has, our best in mind. And I firmly believe that. So take heart. So tell us what you thought. I'd love to hear how you're feeling going into whatever year it is you're going into. And I think we covered it all.
Always.
Nailed it. It was perfect. Thanks for joining us. Go ahead and follow. I posted like twice this week on Instagram. It's big stuff.
Y'all, it's really silly. And I like very much appreciated your sweet text and messages like, hey, we missed the magic table. Again, this all feels really self-indulgent.
But I feel like after a year, based on our last episode, after a year of like living here in chaos, it feels like this is a part of us coming back, like planning, doing those sort of things. And even the magic table feels like us coming back to ourselves a little bit. And I think that's a good thing. So if you want more magic table, keep texting us and telling us that it's important.
So if no one texts us on Tuesday, know that we're
it's
done.
It's gonna get super awkward, but no, it's good. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being faithful. And if you have thoughts of stuff you want us to talk about, we would love those as well.
True.
So, thanks for joining, and we'll see you next time at the magic table.